This week, we're giving some of you the chance to get some closure for any of those emotional loose ends left over from high school.
This is Marco from Oklahoma City. In second grade, I bullied a young girl. Her name was Bess. I don't even remember her last name. I just felt the need to bully her, and I punched her in the stomach. And very little time goes by without me feeling very sorry about that. And if I could find her, I would apologize to her.
My 50th anniversary will be coming up in about 2 years. And if I never hear from those people again, I will be happy. They couldn't be civil to me when we had no choice but to be together. I cannot imagine them being civil when we would volunteer to be together. I have no use for them. They left a burning hole in my soul, and I really don't ever want to even have to think about this again.
Second grade school day story from Marco in Oklahoma City and Louise in Anchorage, Alaska, there who felt some misery in the class of 1966. So did Phil here, but he wants to bury the hatchet.
This is Phil Banzi from Macon, Georgia. I was definitely bullied as a kid all throughout school, but what I'll say is, honestly, I don't want to call anybody out for it. It made me who I am today. It made me strong. It made me be able to handle my situations in day-to-day life. I almost want to thank them. By no means would I ever say that a student should be bullied, but I will say that at least in my situation, it made me who I am, and I'm kind of grateful for it.
When I think back on all the crap I learned in high school.
What exactly is going on in high school, and how come Ferris Bueller had it so wired?
Oh, well, he's very popular, Ed. The sportos, the motorheads, geeks, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, they think he's a righteous dude.
Well, apparently Ferris was able to decode the complicated food chain that is high school. Not everyone is so good at it.
Okay, you should just know that we don't do this a lot, so this is like a really huge deal. We want to invite you to have lunch with us every day for the rest of the week.
Oh, it's okay.
Coolness. So we'll see you tomorrow.
On Wednesdays, we wear pink.
Kate in the movie Mean Girls thinks she's got it made being one of the pink plastics, but it doesn't quite work out so well. Were you popular back in high school or not so much? Were you mean to anybody that you would like to apologize to right now? Hurt by someone you would like to call out now? Well, without getting into any real names, tell us a story at 877-8-MY-TAKE. We want to talk about the complicated ways in which teens try to assert their independence, get ahead, and take down rivals. It's the focus of an in-depth survey of 4,200 8th, 9th, and 10th graders. University of California at Davis and Penn State researchers found significant stress levels associated with social competition at all levels of the hierarchy in high school, especially among those towards the top of the pyramid. The results, according to Emily Bazelon, senior editor at Slate and the author of Sticks and Stones, Defeating the Culture of Bullying and Rediscovering the Power of Character and Empathy, says the study goes way beyond our typical and simplistic view of high school bullying.
The classic example of bullying is this very one-way power dynamic where you have a campaign to make a kid miserable, and we think of that kid as being very socially isolated. And what this new study shows is that happens, but what's much more common is conflict among kids who are high status. They're kind of jockeying for a position as popular kids, and they're going after each other. And they are the ones who are reporting the highest levels of depression and anxiety from that experience.
How is that different from the Mean Girls story or the conflict among the jocks that's the narrative of almost every high school movie that you've ever seen?
I think it's very much related that you can see exactly this dynamic happening in Mean Girls, where as the main character starts to try to fit in her high school and get to be friends with high status kids, then those kids may turn on her. And so it's not that these kids are friendless. It's that there's a lot of cruelty that goes on in the social hierarchy in high school, which I think basically everyone who's been to high school will remember in some way, shape or form.
And, it's Lord of the Flies meets, American Graffiti on some level. We can't eradicate the cruelty and the pain that adolescence produces. But is there an amelioration? Is there some sort of guide here to at least giving better signposts to young people who really have to go it alone in this pretty ruthless competition?
Well, some of this is recognizing that kids need to learn to manage conflict, and we have to make some room for that. The tricky part is that we're not very good at predicting which kids will really be devastated by this kind of cruelty. You know, some kids are pretty armored up, and they can tough it out, and then the same experience will just really wreck another kid. But in this study, Robert Ferris, who is the author, makes a very good suggestion to try to address status in the ways in which they're trying to improve their school climates or prevent bullying. And the more routes you have to feeling good about yourself and thriving socially in school, the better. So instead of just having, you know, the jocks and the mean girls, maybe it's just as cool to be a chess champion, or there are just lots of small pinnacles in a school community that kids can feel affirmed by.
You know, educator Leon Botstein of Bard has talked a lot about the question of whether high school is structurally just not put together to deal with all the different kinds of roles that high school students can have, that it's pretty much set up to be only about the mean girls and the jocks and maybe a few, you know, straight A students, and everybody else is sort of lumped into this dumpster, and that makes it really, really hard to intervene.
Yeah, I often feel when I'm talking to teenagers, it's the only time in our lives where we're expected to be complete generalists, and where just being super good at one crazy nerdy thing isn't enough. Later in adulthood, no one ever asks you to be good at math and writing and singing, right? And yet we have that expectation. And then, you're right, athletics and other sort of typical American successful high school activities tend to be overvalued, and there is a very cramped feeling in some schools. But I have to say, in my reporting, I have gone to schools where there are just broader conceptions of who counts and of, you know, what it even means to count, and a real emphasis on rewarding the kindness that students do to each other and making that the route to being valued and to being popular.
So we're asking people to kind of think back in their own lives, you know, whether it was just a month ago that they left high school or several years, decades in my case. Is there a list in your life, Emily, of people who you maybe overstepped a line in being possibly cruel that you'd want to apologize to today, or folks that you'd want to say, hey, you made me feel pretty darn miserable? Could you make that list?
I have a really powerful memory in eighth grade of having my friends desert me. That's how it felt to me. And I spent a lot of time at that moment really picking myself apart and feeling like it was my fault, and just feeling tremendously isolated and scared at school. Because if you have no one to be friends with or to hang out with in a community and people are turning their backs on you, that is a really chilling experience. And that has really stuck with me. I think that if you have other support, and I was lucky to have a lot of support from my family, sometimes those experiences of adversity help you grow. And I think it was a humbling experience for me, and that was probably a good thing. But they do stick with us. And I've noticed in writing about this topic that almost everyone has some very deep-seated memory that comes to the surface when they start thinking back on being a teenager.
Anyone you'd want to apologize to? Anyone who you maybe wreaked some revenge for that eighth grade experience unwittingly later on in high school?
You know, I'm sure I should apologize to someone, but I don't think I ever had enough social clout or power to do any real damage in high school. So I think the apologies I would give are more inadvertent. I'm sure that there were moments when I turned my back and rejected someone because I didn't want to be associated with someone I thought just wasn't cool enough, rather than actually like trying to wreak revenge. I think that's what I'm guilty of.
Negotiating the hierarchies in high school, what we learn is that the would-be journalists were pretty low on the food chain, I guess, huh?
Well, at least this one. Maybe it's not true for you.
No, I'm with you. Emily Bazelon, the senior editor at Slate and author of Sticks and Stones, Defeating the Culture of Bullying and Rediscovering the Power of Character and Empathy. Emily, thanks so much.
Thanks so much.